providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Second hour of the KE Report. I'm devoting this entire hour to my friend Stephen Lieb. Stephen lives in New York, manages money, knows as much about gold as virtually anybody who I know. And keep in mind, I know all the players because I spent 40 years in that sector. Stephen is absolutely brilliant. I want to open this particular segment, Stephen, and we are recording this on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm going under the assumption that what's going on today will not change, at least for the weekend show. First of all, we have a live gold and a live silver chart on our homepage, and gold as of right now is trending downward. Now, we're not down what I would call significantly. We're down probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 50, 55 bucks an ounce. Do you see this being a long-term trend, Stephen?
No, by no means. I see this as being almost preparation for a major change.
Okay.
And likely to possibly will continue for another, I don't know, month or two. And I think you'll see things start to change sometime in the sometime toward the end of the second quarter. I think that the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements,
right.
one of the major aspects of the gold market and a lot of markets right now is that these aren't physical markets. I mean, the price you're looking at for gold right now, 1771 or 3 or whatever, it's a price that's created by speculators,
right,
who are able to trade on, you know, incredible amounts of margin. It's a price. I hate using words like manipulated. But it's a price that there's a lot of control when you have this much margin, and you have a lot of, you know, banks together that have a lot of control. You see funny things that happen, and
yep.
I happen to be somebody who watches this stuff at night, and very, very often when there's no gold trading, I mean gold trading is very, very quiet, Al. You'll all of a sudden see gold drop by $10 or $15.
Right.
Now, that means that you had a big order, sell order placed, and you know, there were no buyers around. And you know, anyone that, first of all, has that kind of money to place that kind of order is not your ordinary citizen. It's not, you know, stupid money. It's, you know, it's big money. And it's placed to, you know, have an effect, have a psychological effect. And you saw this before. I mean, you saw it in 2013 and 2014 when they wanted to keep the price of gold, I think, you know, within a certain range. And I think they were pretty much where they want it to be. My guess is 1750 or so, maybe a little lower, maybe 1740. But this time, what's really different is you have the world, the developing world, is really growing. There's a tremendous emphasis on shifting energies, and how this is displaying itself is in terms of how other commodities are playing out. On a day like today, with the market down 2%, the stock market down 2%, you see base metals, one of the indexes that I follow. I don't have a chart in front of me, but you see DBB, which stands for, you know, copper, I think aluminum, or I can't remember, nickel, zinc, et cetera. The base metals are down 0.5%. Copper's down less than the market, though copper has had a tremendous run. I mean, you know, from about 250 or so to 425. It's historic. It's very close to all-time highs. It's not even going down as much as the stock market. This is the difference. You have commodities en masse going up together. Gold is kind of the laggard, which is very, very unusual. I mean, it's so unusual that it's, you know, I can't find a counterexample, another example. And it does suggest that something is happening. And if I read those rules right, come the beginning of June, The Bank of International Settlements, who makes the rules, are going to, you know, one of those rules is going to be that banks are going to need 85% of capital to back up purchases and purchases of gold. It's going to take away a lot of the speculation. You're not going to be able to speculate on 5% holdings. And you know, gold is it's a big market, a multi-trillion-dollar market.
Right.
And, you know, you need a lot of money if you're going to deal in cash or mostly in cash. My guess is that rule will be instituted gradually. I think most people are on board. I think most major bankers, central bankers, see that the world can no longer run just on the dollar, and you're going to see the beginning of a major shift, and gold's going to be in the center of that shift. And I think ultimately prices for gold are going to go much higher than almost anybody thinks. And looking back on what you're seeing today and what you've seen lately, it's not going to even show up on the chart. That is my feeling. So yes,
Steve, can you explain that to me a little bit? I don't understand exactly that statement. Can you explain it to me?
Sure. What's going on right now is I think the bankers, the central bankers of the world, are preparing for new rules that are coming in from the Bank of International Settlements. The Bank of International Settlements is usually called the Federal Reserve of all the other banks, the Bank of Banks.
Right.
It basically makes the rules that govern what our central bank and other central banks from China to Germany to, I mean, from China to the Euro to Israel to all the other central banks adhere to those rules. And those rules right now allow these banks to hold and trade gold on, you know, very, very low margins. They don't have to have a lot of cash. They don't have to have a lot of assets to back up their trading. It's a very, very speculative market. And that's going to change. And once that changes, it means most trading of gold will be physical, that the banks will lose any sort of control they may have in changing the price of gold, affecting the price of gold. And that will make a massive difference. That will sort of pave the way for gold taking a place or having a role in what I call a new monetary system. And it's so necessary to have that. You cannot, you know, China is certainly, you know, a driver in this, but it's not just China at this point. I think it's the Europeans. It's certainly Russia. It's certainly many, many other countries. You know, part of what informed me writing this book was knowing that China believed gold was a metal that could back up other currencies, not just back up the yuan, which it effectively does right now, but to back up kind of a basket of currencies. But again, the key here is you have to sort of transform the trading of gold into a physical market. You know, I mean, you know, could have some margin. You know, you don't have to put up 100% to buy it, but you have to put up a lot more than what you have to put up now, maybe 50, 60%, I mean, eventually up to 85%. That's going to make it much like the Chinese market, which right now is a physical market. The biggest physical market for gold is not London, it's not the U.S., it's China. You know, when you buy gold in China, you almost always take delivery. When you
Steve, Mr. Lee, we got to take a real quick commercial break. I want to continue this discussion here right after the commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back.